The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect that of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And good morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Thursday, the final Thursday in February edition of Analyze This. Got my man, Danny Challenger, here on the board. What's up, Danny? Everything good? Good. It's a beautiful day outside. You know, I got this second floor view. Water's a little choppy. That's why I've yet to see the outline of St. Thomas and St. John. St. Thomas and St. John for the week. But you know, us here on 93.1 FM WTJX, the show goes on even if we can't see the Northern Virgins. And, you know, NPR radio here in the territory. And we got obligation to make sure that the country running good. I want to say, rest in peace, Edwin Calwood. He used to call into the Mario Moorhead show on another station. And say, country running good. And, you know, you'd say that sarcastically. But the reality is, all these years, the country has been running good because, you know, nobody ever really been hungry here in the Virgin Islands. We don't play that game there. Not here. The poverty, you know, data that you've been hearing over the years, you know, they may sound like we've been, struggling like that, but poverty don't really exist here in the Virgin Islands when you look at it comparatively speaking to some other islands here in the Virgin Islands. So this is paradise. Don't ever let anybody tell you anything to the contrary. The United States Virgin Islands is the American paradise. Period. Point dot. According to a dude named Fly Williams about Ty Williams out of Brooklyn. Point dot. Okay? And you could tell that I'm feeling good. And obviously, it starts with the COVID numbers. And I'll give a shout out to Rufus Turnbull. Even though he sent me a forward text on Tuesday about how I should be knocking out my percentages before the show and not on air. No, I like to do the math on the air so the public can know how I arrive at my percentages. Okay? And I'm going to send you my email a little bit because I know you just sent me a text message there. Wanting me to send you an email to send me something, so we're cool with that. Got a great show today. Janelle Saro, she has a forum tonight, and she's going to be joining us right after the first break. Hold on there. I want to make sure I got this right. It's a cannabis-related forum. Let's Talk Cannabis, a virtual cannabis series, part one. The physicians. Okay, that's the doctors, the medical people. And they got three doctors, or two doctors and an herbalist coming on. We're going to hold off on the name, but it is tonight. It starts at 7 p.m. I'm assuming it's virtual. But we'll get all the details from Janelle Saro, Senator Janelle Saro. When she kind of comes on right after the first break. You know, she's a big-time vote getter now. Before, you know, she used to hover around 5, 6, and 7, but now she gave Senator Donna Fritz Gregory a run for her money. Photo finish to them hit the way to get her. Yeah, so looking forward to talking to that. Very popular and appreciated member of the 34th legislature, Janelle K. Saro. at about 8:20, so we could talk cannabis and all that stuff. Anyway, you know that, like I said, you could tell from my voice that I'm feeling good. Got the numbers. By the way, Muchi Shang, good morning. I saw you yesterday. You didn't tell me hello and all that stuff. Saw you at the funeral for Malcolm Evans. You didn't see me, though. That's the reason why. You wouldn't pass me like that. So we're good. Don't worry about it. But yeah, we Malcolm Evans, one of the great voices here in the Virgin Islands. You know, a lot of people in the St. Thomas, St. John sign, they brag about John Lucien. But I'll put Malcolm Evans against him. In the Haiti, of course, you know, both of them, they are here now, but I'll put John Lucien, I'll put Malcolm Evans up against John Lucien and tell them go for it. May both of them rest in eternal peace. So, COVID numbers. Good morning, Janesta Ritter. I need Brett Ellis tomorrow, if possible. It's the last day of February, and I need to get on Brett Ellis. I haven't heard from Brett in months. So, as of yesterday, right, including yesterday's data, 47,375 people in the Virgin Islands have been tested for COVID-19. 102 are pending. Forty-seven thousand 273 confirmed tests yield these numbers: 2,623 positives, 44,650 negatives. So, just to annoy Rufus Stumble, I can do the math right here for you now again. Just to let you know that I run this, yeah. 44,650 divided into 47,273. Same 94.4%. Okay? 5.6% positivity rate overall. But in recent times, that number got to be closer to like 96, 97. Given what we've been dealing with. Okay? We had fallen a little bit, but now we come back. Of the 2,623 positives, 2,497 have recovered. We've had 25 deaths, and we have 101 actives. Got to keep an eye on that number. That number is up 20 from 48 hours ago. Okay? Yesterday's data was good. St. Thomas, 41 negatives, 4 positives. That's a 10.25% to 1%. St. Croix, 190 negatives, 6 positives. 31.667% to 1%. St. John, 53 negatives, 0 positives. Thank you, St. John. Overall, 284 negatives, 10 positives, for a 28.4% to 1% ratio. We can dig it. Okay? We're good with that. So let's keep it going. And of course, you know, given that, you know, we're a tourism destination this time of the year and the numbers are like this, it's actually better than it really is. Nationally, according to worldometer.info, there have been 28,974,623 cases in America. The New York Times has that number at 28.3 million. As it relates to deaths, 518,363. According to worldometer.info, 505,642 deaths, according to the New York Times. If we're to average out those, yes, we don't really average out debts. But it's somewhere between 505 and 518, 518,000, respectively. The COVID tracking project for yesterday, for the daily numbers for yesterday, 1.5 million tests, 73,000 positives. So that's less than a 5% positivity rate. That's a good thing. Hospitalization number is now down to 54,118. And unfortunately, there were 2,447 deaths attributed to the COVID-19 pandemic yesterday throughout America and its territories. I want to go back to that 54,000 just to give you some perspective. Monday, January 13th, when I came in here, right? The hospitalization numbers nationally were at 108,957. Today, a month and a half later, technically, let me see, 18 and 25, that's 43. 6 weeks, yeah, just about 6 weeks later, that number is cut in half. Our hospitalizations, it is now down to 54,118. 6 weeks from 108 plus thousand hospitalizations, now down to 54. Combination of behavior and vaccine. Don't let anybody fool you. Vaccine got to be a part of this. Because we started vaccinating people 6 weeks before that in December, in the first week of December. Okay, so those are the COVID-19 numbers. Yesterday was a good day as it relates to data. An even better day on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow closed at a record 31,961.86, up 424.51, 1.35%. 25 of the 30 companies saw gains, 5 saw losses. The 5 who saw losses were Nike, Apple, Amgen, Walmart, and Home Depot. And the reason for the record number yesterday on Wall Street is tied to the coronavirus, according to this article from Barron's. The Dow hit a record because Johnson & Johnson's vaccine looks ready. Stocks rose substantially Wednesday because the Food and Drug Administration said Johnson & Johnson's COVID-19 vaccine looks ready for emergency use authorization. Johnson & Johnson's vaccine is effective and safe, according to the FDA. This gives investors incrementally higher certainty that the doses projected by the company will indeed be distributed soon, providing yet another guidepost pointing to widespread and full reopenings in the U.S. Trillions of dollars added fiscal stimulus are expected to lift consumer spending and sales at business for when reopenings are fully executed. Johnson & Johnson's stock rose 1.3%. Companies whose earnings are most tethered to the reopening trade saw their stocks pop significantly on the day. It wasn't just Norwegian, as cruise peer Royal Caribbean also saw shares surge 7.3%, while Carnival, the largest of the three by market value, saw stock rise 2%. Stock of lodging giants, Marriott International and Hilton Worldwide Holdings gained 5.3% and 4.4% respectively. So you know why I read that, right? St. Thomas, looking at you, okay? You know, I like to brag about how I, you know, tourists love I and all that stuff, and you know, cruise ships and hotels and all that, right? So St. Thomas, start getting ready. Okay. Wear your mask more and start getting ready. The energy and financial services sectors, which tend to prosper in a strong economy, had strong days. The energy select sector, SPDR Fund, rose 3.5% on a strong day for oil, while the Dow Jones U.S. Banks Index added 2.5%. Long-dated interest rates continue to rise, a major positive for bank profitability and a sign that inflation and economic demand is strengthening. So, you know, that's where we at. Now, there's more to the article, but I just wanted to focus on, you know, the tourism industry and our banks and, of course, COVID-19. So, good start to the show. Good news. Let's keep it up. Keep wearing the masks. Social distance and all that good stuff. We'll take our first break right about now. I think the good senator should be calling in anytime now. Looking forward to that, so we could talk about cannabis, where we at, and all that good stuff. Analyze this on a absolutely immaculate, lovely, picturesque Thursday here in paradise. We'll be back right after this.
It's a new year, New Year's resolutions, new financial plan. At Bank of St. Croix, we offer a suite of consumer and business services, including home and auto loans. With online banking, you can bank with us from anywhere 24/7. Bank of St. Croix has two locations, one in Gallows Bay, 340-773-8500, and one in Peters Rest, 340-713-8500. Bank of St. Croix, bankofstcroix.com.
There's a new live jazz experience on public radio, Jazz Night in America. Exclusive concerts from around the country, conversations with artists, and video webcasts that give you the backstage pass. I'm Christian McBride. Join me right here on this station for Jazz Night in America.
Jazz Night in America, Fridays at 9 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Hi, it's Maria, Maria Hinojosa from Latino USA. You have so much information at your fingertips. Don't you sometimes feel overwhelmed by it all? Here at Latino USA, we know that your time is valuable, which is why our team prides itself on producing original stories that you won't hear anywhere else. Check us out and share us with your friends and family. Thanks for listening.
Latino USA, Saturdays at 6 a.m. and again at 4 p.m. on WTJX 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Hours ago, halfway around the world, the day has already begun.
Tens of thousands of people in Venezuela.
Britain is leaving the European Union.
Everyone was just running. People were crying. They were in tears. And we didn't know what was happening. Police kept telling us to move back, move back.
The thousands of protesters marched along a route.
When you need to know where the world went while you weren't looking, Morning Edition. Listen every morning.
Morning Edition, weekdays at 6 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
And we are back here on Analyze This. And of course, you know, Rufus Turbo can't help himself. He had me to know that John Lucy ain't got videos or had videos and Malcolm Evans ain't got none. He want none. Check, he want none. Right? But that's a good comeback, though. And Dave Davis, right? Good morning, Dave Davis. He had me to know. Is already on the line, right? Okay, I'll come into right now. Dave Davis had me to know I need to explain the math that I'm doing on the air. So here's how it goes, right? When you look at the data for COVID-19, they give you a set of numbers, right? The first number they give you is the number of people that have been tested. And that's the big number. And then the second number that you look for is the number of tests that are pending, right? So what you do is you subtract the pending number from the number of people tested, because those, and when you do that, then you get a confirmed test number. Right? So, for example, if you have 49,100 people that were tested and 100 of those are pending, right? That means you have 49,000 confirmed tests, right? So, what at that point, so we subtract the pending tests from the overall number of people tested to get the confirmed tests, and those are the results that the department has gotten back. Then you take the positive number or the negative number and divide it into that number, right? So let's say we had the 49,000 confirmed tests and we have 48,000 negatives, right? You divide the 48,000 into the 49,000, and that is your negative ratio, right? And whatever the number is, in this case, that number should be about, you know, 48 out of 49. Let's use 49 out of 50,000, right? That means that your negativity rate is 98%, right? If you had 49,000 negatives out of 50,000 confirmed tests. And then if you have a 98% negativity rate, then that means you have a 2% positivity rate. Okay, so Dave Davis, thank you very much for asking me to explain that, because you're right. We can't assume anything, and I enjoy doing that, you know, just to bother this Rufus Turnbull, one of my ardent supporters and listeners over there, out of St. Thomas, big musician and all that stuff. So that's where we're at, but now we're going to shift to what Peter Tosh referred to back in the day as ganja in a song named Legalize It. And we got three-term senator Janelle Saro joining us this morning. Good morning, Senator Saro. How are you?
Morning, Senator James.
Neville.
I'm well.
Good morning. Neville, dude, like we said when I went to St. Dunstan's back in 1971, Neville. Okay, not Neville or Neville, Neville. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Okay, here we go. Good to hear your voice. How you been? Aside from that, how's the job? It's been like 6 weeks.
It's pretty intense, but it's good. I mean, no day is the same, as you know. Mm-hmm. A lot of things to address, a lot of things to deconstruct and sift through. So it's been a challenge, but it's a good challenge.
If you see Rufus Turnbull, if you know him and you see him, tell him back off and when it comes to math. Because we could go at it. We could go at it all day long if he wants a piece of me when it comes to math. He knows that. He should know that by now. You know that. So tell him to back off.
I shall.
Okay, good. And Lorna Nichols just had me to know it's too early for math. So I apologize, but you know, one of IO people over there in St. Thomas tests me. And when they test, T-E-S-S, when they test me, then I got to respond. So that's where we at. You are the chairwoman of which committee? You got a fancy committee name and all that stuff?
Yes, the Committee of Disaster Recovery and Infrastructure.
Wow. That's a created committee in light of us being in the middle of what will be a protracted recovery here in the Virgin Islands as a result of Irma and Maria?
Correct, yes.
Okay. I ain't want to tease you, but you know that you're the one that caused the hurricanes, right?
Right after I was sworn in, then came, we went to NCSL, and then in 2 seconds, we had two hurricanes, you're right.
That's right, and oh yeah, you swore in July, right? July?
July 14th.
And then we went to Boston a month later, in August. And while we were in Boston, there was a warning, we got the indicator, because there was historic rains in Tortola. Remember, we had heard about that. We were up there, and we heard that St. Tortola got flooded out like they had never gotten flooded before. And then about 3 weeks after that, Irma, and then 2 weeks after that, Maria. Not your fault. I'm just teasing. So while you were a senator, you got to serve the last part of the political career of Senator, at the time, Positive T.A. Nelson. And matter of fact, you guys sat next to each other, right?
We did.
I know. I apologize.
You know how that went.
Yeah, I apologize. That was rough. That was rough. Morning, Senator, Commissioner Nelson. How are you? And, of course, you know, he had been championing the legalization of cannabis here in the Virgin Islands. Towards the latter part of that term, that legislation was successful for medicinal purposes, right? Medicinal marijuana?
Yes.
And now you have sponsorship of the legislation in-house.
Yes. Okay. Yes, for recreational.
For recreational use. Okay, good. Yes. Let's talk cannabis. Is a virtual medicinal cannabis series, part one, the physicians, and that is tonight. Senator Saro, the floor is yours.
Well, we needed to do some education on the topic. We have this misnomer that the medicinal piece cannot generate revenue, or, you know, we should overlook it. So, remember, like you said, we passed Act 8167 to the end of the term. I think it passed by a bare 8 votes. at the time in the very, very last session. And if you look at the data, we have a very sick population. Nobody wants to admit it, but we do. We have a high diabetic population. We have those with high blood pressure. We have a lot of cancer patients, and those are other degenerative diseases. So we made a promise to the people, I think, in 2018. Yeah, it was 2018, that we would pass medicinal and get medicinal moving. Of course, you know, administration changed, and that went on a back burner. The governor sent down a recreational cannabis bill that was severely flawed, and it wouldn't benefit those who are on the streets. It wouldn't benefit the common man. And, you know, as you look at the data across the state, they've made grave errors in the whole recreational legislation with big companies rushing, globalization, capitalism, free market society, and they rush in and bam, they take control of the industry. And that's not what we want, for the territory. So while the amendments are in to strengthen the rec bill, we need to move medicinal. So we finally have a quorum on the board as the chair of rules. We brought down, we were able to move the governor's nominees. For some point, for some reason, he stalled. And his reason for stalling was, give me my recreational bill or I am done. So it was a standoff for a while. But there's a bare quorum on the OCB, the Office of Cannabis Regulation, on his board. So while that infrastructure is building out, we need to educate people on the benefits of medicinal use. You have doctors in this territory right now certified, or they have the background and the experience to begin to treat people, our citizens, with cannabis. But the other side of that is that we want to move recreational, but we still don't have a lab up and running. We still haven't trained our farmers. What you grow in your backyard and in your closet of your house is very different. You know, a plant may need 12 hours of sunlight, 12 mm-hmm. hours of darkness. If the time changes, it may need 14 hours of light, you know, 10 hours of darkness. You know, the whole process of what you could do, the entire plant has a use, from the buds to the stems, where the oil comes from, the hemp will come from. I mean, there's so many different uses, from the tea to maybe like a candy or a chocolate. You know, everybody, when you think cannabis, you want to kill the misnomer that cannabis is not just, you know, one of life. And as you know, you're into science, but most people are into science. And when you burn something, of course, it's a chemical reaction, the product changes. Uh-huh. So that's what we want to really discuss. The informative piece, we want to give information. We want to arm the community with information on the benefits of cannabis, because just like how the pharmaceutical industry is a billion-dollar industry across the world, so is cannabis medicinal. Medicinal cannabis has its own market, and it can generate revenue for the territory, but we just kill the idea. So what the governor sent down in addition to that, why I couldn't even move his bill or agree with his bill, was that he gutted the entire Act 8167. He took out the entire medicinal piece, and it was like maybe one little music section, about maybe 6 or 7 lines. And that didn't do it any justice. So we went back and we decided to re-strategize, to recalibrate, and you know, move forward with the cannabis series. The physicians are definitely on board. Physicians are eager to start to, you know, prescribe THC or cannabis related meds, but we still haven't moved the industry. We're still waiting for the rules to be officially adopted. The cannabis board has to put their website out. They need to hire a director for OCB. So there are some things to be done. So when we sit now, we say, oh, the Senate is moving on cannabis right now. There are so many things to be done. We appropriated $250,000 last term for the seed to sale tracking system, because those who are farmers, you have to be able to track the plant from its, you know, from its beginning stages to the end stage until the plant comes to fruition, you know, and of full use. So there are so many moving components of the industry that we haven't even began to just like make a dent in it. So while we try to make a dent on that one end, we need to at least spend this time educating. And the next series will be for the farmers, you know, key points for what a farmer can do and be prepared for the industry. And then I think the other component would be how do we subsidize, you know, the farmers. They want to need equipment, they may need lights. If they're going to grow indoors, they need farming machines. So many things are necessary. And we don't want our people to be, like Dr. King said, lack of the vault of opportunity.
Well, I'm glad. I'm just happy to hear that at least you're trying to put down an administrative foundation as we take this, what I believe is a quantum leap, and when we're talking about legalizing and the proliferation of cannabis, marijuana, weed, whatever term you want to use here in the Virgin Islands, and without proper organizational structure, that's doomed to fail. So I'm glad that at least in your estimation, there is a commitment to making sure that the appropriate structure is in place. I never voted for it. I always voted against it, but it wasn't because I didn't believe in supporting or legalizing marijuana. I believe that we have some other issues that we need to take care of before we go that route. And, you know, we're going to get into that conversation as we go along.
I agree with you, Senator Neville.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. That's why I didn't take too lightly to, you know, the constant conversation in the public from the administration then that we just holding up cannabis and this and that. If you don't implement this correctly, it could be a great danger and a detriment to our society. And I would be playing fast and loose with people's lives if I just take that haphazard, rushed approach to something that is so multidimensional and complex. And we have to give it its due attention.
Well, you know, I agree with that. And one of the things that I want the public to know is, and I've said this on the floor when it came up, and I'm saying it now, you know, I'm not going to be a hypocrite and ignore the fact that marijuana has been a part of the Virgin Islands illegally for as long as I've been alive. You know what I'm saying? So it's here. You know, we're not acting as if it's not here and all that. It's here, and it's been thriving illegally and untaxed for a number of years, a number of decades. I'm not denying that. All I'm saying is once you go the legalization route, because, you know, we already went the decriminalization route prior to your coming into the legislature. Once you go the legalization route, then that changes everything. You know, that impacts every aspect. Health, the courts, the court system, the police department as it relates to apprehension and things of that nature. So, you know, you have to make sure that this, you know, has all the I's dotted and all the T's crossed and all of the administrative personnel and agencies, you know, fully outfitted as it relates to human resources so that we know what we're doing. You know what I'm saying? We're not just doing it because it's in vogue. That's my take, Senator Sarah.
No, I wholeheartedly agree. And the end goal, too, as well for me, that you have, like you said, you have so many young men and women who are partaking in the industry right now in the black market. Our goal is to bring them over on the legal side to make a decent living. I didn't say they have to be this massive grower, but you have the micro grower who will maybe grow 12 plants. Mm-hmm. And they should be able to become legal and, you know, not just lock them out of the industry. When you have a society where you have to move, when you move with your society, two or three can't progress, and we call it progression and success. We have to be able to move those at the bottom. There has to be some level of upward mobility. And when you look at the old bill, when you have the bill telling you that you can't sell cannabis 1,000 miles, you have to sell it 1,000 miles from the dock. And you look at the numbers, that's not even a federal law, you know. But when you look at the bill, you realize the bill benefits a certain group because that 1,000 miles from the dock is really 1,000 feet from the dock, I meant.
Yeah.
Really benefits assaulting person on Main Street.
What we're going to do is, right? So check this out. We're going to take a break now. When we come back, we're going to talk about that micro and macro dynamic, because that's going to be the heart of our conversation today, because that's what we need to really be focusing on as it relates to the legalization and all that stuff, right? So this is where we at. Analyze this, Santa Janelle Saro, now a voluminous vote getter in the St. Thomas St. John District, has joined us this morning to talk about the series, and we're going to talk about the doctors and all that stuff. We'll be back right after this.
Hi, this is Tara. I was scrolling through my newsfeed and saw Vitima's post. The coronavirus vaccine is here and available. I've been getting a little tired of reading about this pandemic stuff, but still ain't trying to get it or give it to anybody in my family, especially Grandma G. She lives with us. So I called the number 340-777-8227, shared some info, and got an appointment a few days later near our home, and for Grandma G too. Talk to your family. Let folks know signing up for the shot was quick, easy, and will save lives. Put the number in your contacts. 340-777-VACS. And choose to be a part of the solution. Take your best shot against COVID-19. Get the vaccine.
Presented by the Office of the Governor, Vitima, and the Department of Health.
On Point represents democracy in action every day with the sharpest guests and the sharpest listener calls. Our audiences often know as much as we do, connecting us in ways you won't find anywhere else. I'm David Folkenflik. Hear what you don't always see. Join Meghna Chakrabarty and me for the next On Point.
On Point weekdays at 11 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
And we are back with Senator Janelle Saro. Is this your office, or this is you personally? Is this your office hosting the series?
My office.
Yeah. Her office is hosting a virtual medicinal cannabis series. Let's Talk Cannabis. And part one is tonight, Thursday, February 25th, 7 p.m. Give some details. Tell the public how they can be a part of this and how they can link with it. I'm assuming it's virtual and remote.
It is. So it's is the cannabis series on 7 p.m. tonight. We have Dr. Hillary Woodson. We have Dr. Asari Krishan. And we have, of course, we have Ras Babi, who will be there, the herbalist. That's what we wanted to also do, not just have it from the whole MD standpoint, but from, you know, those who the herbalists. You know, actually, before we went to med school, we had herbalists that were healing us back in Africa and stuff. So it starts at 7 p.m. tonight. You could stream it on Facebook, my official page, Janelle K. Saro, Francis Saro. And you could just receive the link at that point from the Facebook page.
Okay, so let's go through the two MDs and, of course, Ras Babi. Let's start with Dr. Hillary Woodson Gaskins, MD. She's the medical director for the Virgin Islands Center for Integrative Medicine. Tell me about that. I've never heard about that. What do you know about that?
She's a doctor over at the VA Medical Foundation. And integrative medicine, of course, you encompass all. She's a doctor that, you know, some doctors would kill you with meds and that.
I think you need to use a different term there.
I know. That's why I said kill. That's
like, mom. No, that was it was sarcasm, but be careful when you're talking about doctors and kills. So,
you know, like how doctors of osteopathy try to be more natural than to bombard you or to overwhelm you with the pharmaceutical portion of it, when actually most of our medicines do come from, you know, the herbs like honey and aloe and everything else. So she's an MD, but very much into the natural piece of medicine. But she does also, she does the whole gamut of of the entire medical field. And you have Dr. Asari Christian, who he did a fellowship at Harvard. He's a doctor in Boston, but he's originally from Africa. And he comes on here through Dr. Bako's office, Comprehensive Orthopedic Global, and he deals with pain management and pains that you may have. And he's also very much certified in the cannabis field. And of course, you have Ras Babi. He has his elbow shop and Ras Babi. Any ailment that you have, Ras Babi will give you something for it, turmeric, or he has these natural remedies for any ailment. So we tried to diversify the panel, minority-based panel as well, and we wanted people to see them. You know, we have a predominantly black population. So we wanted people to see, you know, those in the industry, those who know about the industry, and wanted to be a very diverse panel, but not too many, not 7-8 people, and you really lose the meat of the conversation.
Okay. So that's for tonight. For those who you know want some more details, go to Janelle K. Saro's Facebook page. That's the location for tonight's. It's a forum, right?
It's a forum,
and we got panelists. As we mentioned, Dr. Hillary Woodson Gaskins, Dr. Asari Christian, MD, and Ras Babi, the Caribbean herbalist from Ras Babi Herbal Products, LLC. He's a businessman, so that's a good thing. And what a perfect way for us to segue into where I want to go. One of my biggest concerns with legalizing marijuana, Senator Saro, is that I am not comfortable believing that enough local people are going to be the financial beneficiaries of us taking this quantum leap. What is your take?
No, I totally agree. Hence the slowdown in the rush to legalize cannabis, how we stand, of course. Like, for example, as you know, politics, two of my good female senators come by from across the aisle to hijack my cannabis bill in the last session. And of course, my good counterpart, Senator Bailey, was able to find a loophole and tell them, listen, you can't pass a bill that includes the board all convoluted in it, and it became unconstitutional. But there's this rush to move with cannabis, and I am fearful the way that it is written now, void of the amendments that we sent in to gut the bill and change things, our people on that micro level wouldn't benefit from it, any of it. They don't, you know, you have to educate the farmer, because it's one thing to grow for in your house and, you know, take the bud off and dry it and smoke it or do whatever you want to do with it. It's another thing for a plant to pass the test in a lab, to have that quality level THC or whatever you need for that physician to then to prescribe the cannabis, you know. So it's important that we educate first, and then we need to also educate the farmers and get them in order. We have to get our house in order, and then turn around after that, and we have to figure out whether we fund the Small Business Incubator Program, whether we call it a grant program, for the farmers, where that funding source will come from, to get the farmers to at least have some startup funds on a reasonable amount with a reasonable interest rate, where we could recoup those funds in the first maybe 2 or 3 years of them growing. So that's where we're at, and we have to think about them. I want to move them from that illegal side to becoming their own business, men and women paying grocery receipts, paying income taxes. You know, that's the goal, not to have them locked out and somebody come and just buy just land everywhere and go. And if we're going to be real, look at the hemp farm in St. Croix. That one hemp grower that was approved. I mean, the possibilities are endless. He will be a billionaire by the time he's done, because by the time you grow whatever you have to grow the hemp for the bulletproof vest that he manufactures, there's so many parts of that plant that can be used that he really hit a jackpot on St. Croix. And we don't, that's one farmer, that's one approved person from outside. Now, of course, you can't stop capitalism, you can't stop globalization.
Mm-hmm.
But what you could do is become a little more integrative in how we move along.
Well, my son, I remember, I'm sure I've told this story multiple times here on this show, and I'll continue to say it. You know, I remember a conversation 35 years ago this summer. I was going into my last year in college, 1986. You were still a baby. And,
I was a baby, 1 year old.
Yeah, you were still a baby. And it was a good conversation with me, my elder brother, my father, and he laid it out. In this terminology, he said, "I have a problem with law enforcement going down into the city, going down into Harlem," and he was referring to our project area as Harlem, right? And picking up the little boys on the corner who trying to sell the little nickel bag and dime bag and all that stuff, right? Even a scale long, whatever it is, and they're not going up in Yonkers. And, of course, you know, the correlation is, you know, Harlem is New York City, where a lot of people live, but they're not going up to where people live in the residential neighborhoods and the condos up in Westchester County. And he was talking in this case about a certain part of the island where a lot of the drugs was coming in and where a lot of the money was, where they were, you know, pretty much concocting the deals. And it's my fear that, you know, you just pretty much said it's happening. You know, with the hemp company, bingo. You check what I'm saying? The jackpot is what you said. And if that's the case, you know, are they hiring locally? Number one. Number two, what kind of taxes are being remitted back to the government of the Virgin Islands because of this activity? Number three, you know, are they reinvesting into the Virgin Islands after they make this money? These are the concerns. And these are legitimate concerns. Every state, every jurisdiction under the American flag has an obligation to make sure that money is generated within state lines or territorial lines. We can't be any different, Senator Saro, under no circumstance.
I concur.
No, that's all I need to hear. We're good with that. So, I know tonight, you know, you're talking. Oh, by the way, I got a question. You know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people, they like me to ask the questions. They don't really call in because they like the conversation flowing. So I love them for that. Good morning. Is there an option to attend Senator Saro's meeting for those of us that don't do Facebook? So let me ask the question this way. Is there any way that the legislature can hook up with your forum tonight so that it could be seen on Channel 12? Is there, do we have that technical, but not Channel 12, the Legit TV. Is there any way that we can technically make that happen? Because not everybody does Facebook.
I can work on that today. I can scurry in the office and work on that for her.
Yeah.
Or him or whoever made a request. That's not a problem.
Yeah, see, I couldn't say that. I'm glad that we're having this conversation this morning because we can help each other. So if you can make that happen, because not everybody does the social media Facebook thing.
Yeah. I have one thing to say, too. You made a point earlier that really stuck with me when you said that you shouldn't have an organizational structure.
Mm-hmm.
Things could fail, and of course, we don't really focus on the structure of a lot of things, and that happened to be what I kind of studied in my master's degree, the political structure, organizational structure of political institutions.
Mm-hmm.
I find so much, like, often in this government, things do not work because the structure is poor. And just as the chair of the disaster recovery committee, and we're talking about that, but I just wanted to highlight that our recovery has the potential to be a disaster in a sense because our structure is a bit, well, not a bit, it's very convoluted where you have like the Ernst & Young, the Rachel Bryans, the Ian Wise, Ernst & Young. You don't know who the ACOMs, the Aptins, you don't know who they've been assigned to. It's hard. And then you have an office of disaster recovery sitting under the PFA, then like team in a different direction, and then hedge funds are coming in through the VIHFA, and hedge funds require Davis Bacon component, FEMA doesn't, and you have agencies just trying to finagle a process locally that is just not conducive to a smooth recovery. So I just wanted to just say that and not expound, but that's what
I know you're busy, and I don't want you to leave because I know you got things to take care of, but we could talk about it a little bit past the top of the hour, because that's a solid discussion that the public really needs to process comprehensively. That, you know, and that's one of the things I learned from one of your favorite people, them, even though he and I never served on the same side of the island our 8 years together, Usi Richards. He always brags about organization, and you need it. You know what I'm saying? You need structure. If you don't have structure when you're dealing with things like this, that's the reason why the legislature adopts rules on day one, for the most part. I know you guys did a modification thing a couple weeks later, which you could do, because you didn't have any committee meetings in the interim and all that. But there's a reason why rules are adopted, because there has to be structure, Senator Saro.
Completely. Even at sports, if you don't have the structure of a team, you can't win a game at 5 point guard. Unless you, I don't know, have a bunch of Stephen Currys and I don't know.
You
have to have the structure of the team. You have to know within that structure whose role is what. When you take that rebound, the center take the rebound, you pivot, you turn and you look for the point guard, your outlet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are things that's a structure. But when we just like, hey, money over here, money there, but who is this contract? Who has that contract? What's the process? And, you know, our recovery, we just continue to send millions on admin costs while we only have 4 homes that have roofs and then, well, you know, where we have.
That's absolutely legitimate. You know,
DFL. DFL has had 6 CEOs within 11 years. And on that DFL North project, DFL has had 3 acting CEOs on DFL North alone. You know, what do you expect?
You hit that nail on the head. Ain't no doubt about that. And don't forget, right? Don't forget that without structure, right? You have the potential for consistent upheaval. You check what I'm saying? Where people coming in and they just thinking, well, I could do this and I could do that. You know, what structure also does is it actually forces you to bring your report card, right?
Accountability?
Yeah, bring your report card. You know what I'm saying? Because we need to know what's going on. And by the way, I know you mentioned basketball. Structure. Since you talk about structure, tell the Lakers to learn to appreciate what Anthony Davis does as it relates to structure in providing defense and offense for the Lakers, okay? Because as it stands right now, they're not looking good. And,
yes.
And that's what happens when key components, right, are taken out of a structured situation or organization, okay? At that point, you're going to struggle. And make no mistake about it. So I'm glad that we got that out of the way. I want to get back to the economics, though. Because economics is very, very important. And, of course, you know, you are a member of the first branch of government. You're on the Finance Committee?
Yeah.
And, of course,
this is my second term.
Yeah, and you're also on rules this time, or you got a break?
No. That was a lot. Okay. It was a lot to chair rules and do finance. But I think we, going back to structure, and I think that they were able to organize in a different
way. What transpired with you? In the last legislature came about as a result of, you know, a lot of changing and internal changes and all that stuff in year one, 2019. So that was an aberration. And I'm glad that you've gotten back to where some of us are on one committee, one major committee, and not the other. What we'll do is take a break. Top of the hour here and analyze this. We got Janelle Saro out of St. Thomas, St. John, joining us. We're going to talk about St. Kitts Nevis a little bit as well, too. I got a little joke for that when we come back. We'll be right back after this.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect that of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
I'm Noelle King. This moment is presenting so many challenges, including financial ones. If you're one of the listeners who recently donated to keep this NPR station strong, thank you. We know that money might be tight right now, and it means so much that you gave what you can to support this important service. Thanks again.
You can donate right now at WTJX.org.
I'm Scott Simon, host of Weekend Edition Saturday. It gives me great pleasure when I hear from someone like you who listens to our show and they say, you know, I was in a bad frame of mind when I got up, but I listened to your show and I'm not now. I think I can face the world. And then I heard something on your show that kind of changed my mind, changed my heart. I think that's why we're in business. Weekend Edition Saturday. Listen every weekend.
Weekend Edition Saturdays at 9 a.m. and Sundays at 8 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.